All right, we're speaking with Mr. Carl Masters this morning. He is a veteran of the United States Army, served during the Korean conflict during that time. Mr. Masters, it's wonderful to have you. Thank you for your service. And first of all, I want to get a little background information. And we're going to go way back in the background. My understanding is that you come from the oldest family here in Overton County. Tell us a little bit about that, if you would.
Well, his name was Allen. And he came in here in 1799 with his father and the Copeland Party. You've ever heard of the Copeland Party? He was with the Copeland Party. See, they came in here and put out crops and went back to North Carolina. And he came back with that group in the fall of 99. He was born in 1794. And he volunteered and fought in the... anyhow, he was in the Battle of New Orleans and the battle down at Talladega, Alabama, when they was fighting the Indians. And then another trip, he went to Florida and fought with the Indians down there. Yeah, and he was, I don't know, he moved down in his community, Flat Creek, and, of course, they're the first settlers. And he got him a medical book, and he was a doctor in the community. and he's an undertaker. He'd do that, you know. Prepare him for burial, yeah, stuff like that. And he died in 1884. And he was up here on the square the 4th of July of 1876 when they were celebrating the 4th. And the guy done the speech, he turned around and looked and said, Mr. Allen over there said he's been in Battle of New Orleans and two Indian Wars. We call him the old Indian fighter. That's what he said he called him, you know. And just like that. And well, that's about all, you know, I know about him. What I know I've heard is passed on down, you know, like now, they do.
Now, that was your great, how far back, grandfather?
Two greats. Yeah.
Two greats, great-great-grandfather. So let's talk about you. Did you grow up in this area?
Yeah, I lived down on a little farm I live on now, growing on and raised on it. I say I was born on a 55-acre farm on a 45-degree angle. Yeah, you know, yeah, but yeah, I lived through the Depression. It was hard. I was small and a boy, you know, but I can remember it real well. My dad, you know, couldn't get no work anywhere, and when he did, he worked for 50 cents a day for people on the farm, and, you know, he was glad to get it, but you take 50 cents, go to groceries, come back, grocery store, and come back with a pretty good amount of groceries back then, yeah, you know, but... He had old mules, plowed the old mules, you know. And we liked to slip them out and ride them when he wasn't looking. Yeah, but we got by through the Depression. And, of course, the war came along there in 41, and he quit farming in 42 and went to Dayton, Ohio, and got a job. He was a guard at a plant, you know, sit out there in a booth, you know. Mm-hmm. And he did that, and then he got sick, and he came home, and... Doctors never did know what was wrong with him. He died in 46. Yeah. Hmm. I was 15-year-old, yeah.
What was it that made you decide that you wanted to join the Army?
Oh, I didn't decide. The whole Sam did.
Yeah. He made that decision for you.
You seen that Cooper, that pamphlet, you know, Uncle Sam wants you, you know. Yeah. Yeah. I was working in Detroit when I left here and went to Detroit and got a job up at Chrysler's. I was working there when I got called, yeah. And then I went back up there after I got discharged, you know. Got discharged in Fort Meade, Maryland. I hitchhiked into Washington, caught a train back to Detroit and went back to work. I worked there about a year and a half, and I said, I'm getting out of here. I can't take this. Yeah, and I told my foreman at the 1st of December of 54, I told him, I said, I'm quitting at the end of the month, end of the year. And he said, well, I hate to lose you. I made him a good hand because I was always there. You know, this not buying a car on Friday or Saturday, Monday is pretty well true because he'd come in there drunk and everything else, man, I'm telling you. And I made him a good hand. Well, about the middle of December, he come to me and said, the other foreman down there in the office wants to see you. He is a division foreman. I've never seen that guy. Mm-hmm. Well, he told me where he was, and I went down there and went in. There he sat there with a big fine suit on, you know, behind a big mahogany desk. He said, "Have a seat, Mr. Masters." I sat down, and he was going to try to talk me out of going leaving because I made him a good hand. He said, we chit-chatted a little, you know, and he said, "What are you going to do? Go back to Tennessee?" I said, "Yeah." "What are you going to do down there?" I said, "You're going to get you an old mule and plow them hillsides." That's the thing he said. He said, I told him, "No." I said, "I'm going down there and go back to school." And, you know, he jumped up out of his chair. He said, "Hell, son, I don't blame you." He said, get out of here while if you can. Yeah. He's about 50 years old. He said, "I've been here too long. I can't get out.
Yeah.
I've got too much invested." But he encouraged me when I told him what I was going to do to get out. Mm. Yeah.
Talk about during your time in the Army and what you did exactly.
Well, I took basic up at Breckenridge, Camp Breckenridge in Kentucky, and I shipped overseas, I believe, in October of 51. We didn't know where we was going or nothing about it. We got off the ship down there at Southampton, England, rode a train up for an hour or two or three, and we got off up at that base. And We was guarding the base. We had guns, you know, ringed around that, and each section had their own guns, you know. They was 10 of us in the gun section, 12 supposed to be in, and on down maybe 300 or 400 yards would be another gun. So we was all around that base, and there wasn't much excitement, I'll tell you that, guarding that base. You know, that was an old World War II base. The British had it. And the old sheriff, we'd have to walk about a mile or two to go in to take a shower. And that was only about once a week. Yeah. And we'd walk in the furnace, the water would be cold and everything else, you know. And I don't know. And the shower, we had a tent for a mess hall. Mm-hmm. It had a wing on it where the cook slept. And we'd have to ride it. They'd come around in the morning with an old deuce and a half truck, pick you up and haul you around to the mess hall, and it was real bumpy and over there, you know. And, you know, it was sandy. And a lot of times we go to mess, we couldn't eat it because the sand blew through the cracks in that tent and got in it. That's right. We couldn't eat it. Mm. Yeah. But we made it.
We're talking to Mr. Carl Masters. He's a United States Army veteran, served during the Korean War, the era of the Korean War. Mr. Masters, what are some things that really kind of stick out just during that time to you that you, let's say, fondly remember about your time in the military?
Well, I don't know whether anything was fun. I remember it fondly. Well, I enjoyed it in a way, you know. I'm glad to serve. I'd do it again. And, you know, we had to stay out there on those guns from daylight till dark. You stayed there the last light, and you was out there in the first light in the morning. And we had to pull guard duty every night. We short on men. I'd have to pull guard duty maybe 3 or 4 nights a week. But then you had to be out there on those guns. And we'd move them every once in a while. It'd take us all night to move. We'd been up all day, and then we had to stay up all night. And you didn't go to bed after we moved the guns. There's 2 days and nights I'd done without sleep. But it didn't bother me then. I was young and strong. But I don't know. We didn't get a pass. See, they were only let one out of the gun crew go at a time. And if I got a pass, I went on by myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that wasn't enjoyable.
That wouldn't be much fun just being all by yourself.
I did go down to London and ran into Ed Arney over. He was a year behind me in school. I walked in this restaurant, and I walked by and I saw him. He was sitting there. I went on down. I got to look familiar. I walked back up. He looked at me and said, "You from Tennessee?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Livingston is Ed, old Ed. He's a year behind me in school, yeah, but he had joined the Air Force, yeah." And we was down there on New Year's Eve night of 52. Now, we didn't drink, but a lot of them down there did. It's kind of like Times Square, you know. Yeah, only it wasn't as big as that, you know. But we had a good time.
What rank did you achieve in your time in the Army?
PFC. All the rank was going to Korea. Mm-hmm. That's what they told us. Yeah. They couldn't promote us because they was giving us the one over in Korea. Well, I didn't feel hard about that. Mm-hmm. This over on the front lines, I had a brother over on the front lines. He deserved it, yeah. But I don't know.
Talk about your life after the military when you came home and settled. Family, what all happened after that?
Well, I said, I went back to Detroit and got my job back. And after about a year and a half, I said, I'm getting out of here. I can't take you. And I came home, went down to Tech school, graduated from Tech. And then I went to work for the state, Department of Human Services, worked with them 29 and a half years. My first wife, she got pretty sick, and I just took my retirement because my military time had made up to 30 years, you know. I retired, and then, after I got out of the Army, before going to Tech, I knew he had joined the Guard. He said, Carl, why don't you join the National Guard? He said, to get you a little extra money to help pay for your school. Mm-hmm. I joined the Guard and stayed in the Guard 7 years. Yeah, I did. But I don't know. And when I worked for the Human Services for 30 years, my wife got sick, and I just took my retirement and went home to be with her, you know. She died in 94. Yeah. Then I met my present wife. We went to church together, and that's where I met her. Yeah. But I don't know that. I believe I would have re-upped in the Army if it had been better duty. Back then, it was spit polish, and you do what I say and don't look back. You know, it was, I tell you. Now it's kind of like a job, they tell me. You get off at 4 or 5 o'clock and you're free to go. We never was free to go anywhere.
Seems like it has changed a whole lot since that time. Mr. Masters, we thank you for your service to our country. We thank you for taking a few minutes to talk to us about your service. And this Veterans Day, we wish you a happy Veterans Day as well.
Well, I've enjoyed talking to you. My military history goes back to the French and Indian Wars. My great-great-grandfather fought with the British in the French and Indian Wars. Yeah, that was in 1755 to, I believe, 1762. He was too old then for the Revolutionary War, so he volunteered, and they put him in charge of a road, toll road. But his son, he served in there. He went over the mountain man over here, you know, whipped old Ferguson. Yeah. So I wanted to bring that in about, not many people say they had a grandparent that fought in the French and Indian Wars.
That's absolutely true. And that goes back quite a ways and just shows a lineage of your family here at Overton County.
But I'm glad I served. I benefited from it quite much. You know, of course, then I got a free education. Yeah, I'll never forget, you know. I don't know, people talk about this country and run it down. I'd never do that. It's done too much for me.
Sure.
Yeah, I love my country. Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.